When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg, fuck the Supreme Court Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpina.
Hello, Greg.
How are you, sir? And this is, once again, a nice shirt you're wearing. I appreciate this shirt. I've seen it on a few different podcasts we've done. The Milk Bar Comedy shirt. It's in the very standardized. When I look at that, I might be talking out my ass, but I think John Belushi. I think Animal House. Yeah.
I think the same thing. This is, of course, my friend Connor runs the show over at Milk Bar, and he packs them in, dude, every freaking night. They got like fucking 45, 60 people in there. Super fun. It's a free show. And I was like, I hosted a couple times, and he's like, do you want a shirt? And I'm like, I do want a shirt. And you never know, Andy, because now you're running the gambit. You know what I mean? Now you're in the trench.
Do I owe you now?
Do I? No, not only that, but like, if the shirt doesn't fit the way I want it to fit,
should I?
I have. Well, no. I don't even stop anymore because of all the merch that we do. I'm like, give me a medium, a large. And let me just. I'll do the thing where I hold it up to myself because I don't like when they get too dressy. You know, where I'm like, looks like I'm Donald Duck in it. But then I'm like, if it doesn't fit the way I want it to fit, do I have to wear it at least once?
In front of them, like, hey.
I wore this, but thankfully this fit okay, and I dried it a couple times, so it shrunk upward a little bit, which is what I need to do these days.
It's a good fit. It's a good look. It's a good shirt for you.
It's a good blue also. I don't have any blue shirts. I have all my comedy shirts that I have from my friends that sell merch are either white or blue, which is great because now I have some variants. Because don't get me wrong, I love that sweatshirt you're wearing right now, Greg. I want one desperately. I love the black motif that we go with. Super cool. We got that cornered, though. I'm out there to tell you guys. We got it cornered.
Well, my favorite part is for a long time, you fought me. You know, I always wanted everything black. And you're like, no, let's make some white shirts. Let's make some other color. And nobody bought them because so many of the audience have my potato-like body. And then we want to hide them in black shirts.
Yeah. But the thing is, and Andy can probably back me up because he has a degree in color science. Mm-hmm. There's other colors that are darker that aren't white. We could sell dark green, dark blue.
But you always wanted red, the white. You always wanted the charcoal. White. You can go to have this conversation. I see there's a mirror behind you over there in the corner. Yeah. If you want to go look right into it, I'll wait if you want to walk over there and have this conversation with yourself in the fucking mirror, sir.
I don't know what I'd say to myself.
Wow. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why I didn't like making navy shirts, and then navy was actually one of the first shirts that I made when I got hired on. It was for KFL3, the one with the Gundam. Mm-hmm. And well, that's still like
you love
fire.
Huh? You love Gundams.
I sure do. Yeah, that's still like a fire shirt, but pairing it with black pants, I feel like isn't the best move possible.
Right. Sure.
Like pairing it with like light gray pants or anything that's just not black, because whenever you get like a dark navy and a black together, it's like, who's the real winner here? Like, who's the real person that's taking charge here, right? You get a white shirt, you know,
exactly.
Oh, we see the differentiation here. But I was never a fan of like the black with the super dark navy. It's the reason why I don't like wearing my Dallas Cowboy jersey, because it's just too close. Hey, too close. Give me a white jersey, you know.
Andy, it's so funny. Sense. It's like every time I think you're not in my brain, you're right in here.
Exactly.
Because I have a pair of dark, like all black jeans. I can't wear them with the blue, so I wear these jeans with it that are slightly.
Here comes some jeans. Look at that. Look at that.
You gotta do it. You gotta have a little contrast. Otherwise, it looks like someone's like, did he think that shirt was supposed to be black and it's not black? Like, he looked in his closet and it's dark and you just kind of pulled it, you know, because we all get up so early in the morning, like me.
So, get out there and get in the fields.
Yeah, I'm out there just plowing the back nine.
Greg, yeah, I mean, that's golf.
Mm-hmm.
Greg,
I've heard plowing the back nine for your back, like the back 9 acres. What? Did you say you're plowing the back nine when you play golf?
The back nine is a golf term.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yes, that is true too. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I've but never... Nick's saying plow in the back anything. Just all.
Yeah, it's just plow. Yeah, I don't know where he was going with that.
Tim's back.
Ugh, great. Greg, great. I know you told me see that I can get a white jersey. Yeah. I know you said I can get a white jersey if I wanted.
Yeah.
But think about the salsa. Think about the nacho cheese.
Sure.
Think about the oh my goodness, like the hot Cheetos or the Takis. Like, think about the opportunities for stains there. So. Andy? Don't sometimes fucking challenge me.
Sometimes I don't know where you're going to be, but sometimes you're right here. You're right in my head. Because I want you to know, I went to a business lunch today, all right? And I had two business beers during it. And then as I was leaving, I was like...
You look like you've had two business beers.
You do. I was like, maybe I should have a business ice cream with business sprinkles. Mm-hmm. And so I went in and got that. And then I was walking home, and I'm just eating. And let me tell you, you've never seen more confidence than a fat man walking eating ice cream on the streets of San Francisco. Right? I just got this bowl of ice cream with rainbow sprinkles, and I'm walking and eating it. And I'm having a great time. But then I was like, you know what? I was like, this is a lot of ice cream. I'll set a limit for it. I said, there's a trash can by the park by my house. When I get there, no matter how much ice cream's left in the bowl, I'm going to throw it away, right?
And then after this is a sad thing you have to do for yourself.
After I said it, I started laughing because it was a really long – that's still quite a ways away, yeah. And I was going to finish this ice cream. No, yeah. And sure as shit, I got to the park, Andy, and maybe had two spoonfuls of ice cream left. And I was like, you know what? No big deal. And I went, yup. And I took the first one, and then I went to the last one, and it went, yup. And it had melted a bunch, and it just went blah, blah, blah. It went all over my sweatshirt and all over my pants. So yeah. Now I'm just a fat guy in a park covered in ice cream.
Nothing you better than on the floor.
I had a nickel. Nothing better than sticky ice cream on a hot, sunny day, too, right? All over your chin and chest. Why do I think, why did the first thing you said when you said I had a business lunch today, why did I think it was just with Ben? Why did I think you were just sitting across from your child drinking beers and eating ice cream with him?
I mean, I don't put it past me. You know, he's going to be involved in the business. He's got to be brought in at some point. Yeah, Andy Cortez.
Nick, I wanted to call him out on the use of adding business to everything because it reminded me on
well, one Nick's going to look at the credit card and see these charges, and I want to make sure he understands, like, business was discussed.
You just can't add business in front of the word to, like, count it, you know? Because it reminds me of when we went on one of our... in quotes, world tour dates. I believe it was maybe Arizona. I forget
what you mean in quotes.
Well, you guys went to London.
Fucking England. All right, everybody.
We went to Canada.
They didn't leave the continent. We went to England, everybody. All right. Little did we know the world would be shut down by a global pandemic 1 year later. We would have gone to more places. All right. We didn't know.
It just reminded me of anything that we didn't want to do. Greg would say, come on, we're on vacation.
Yeah.
And then Kevin would be like, this is a work trip. Like,
that was Arizona. You can't that was Arizona,
say this is vacation.
You guys just haven't worked a real job in a long time. You know, exactly. You haven't worked a real job in a while. Exactly. You think, Andy, you think you go back to Best Buy right now, they're going to put up with you buying all these different sweatshirts hiding on the side of the bed? No, they're not going to do that.
How much time before your manager calls you? Like, what? How much time?
It's in Arizona. Time do you think they're business sweatshirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Best Buy doesn't give a shit about business sweatshirts. Now, if we can full stop for a second, we do have something we need to address that's happening live in chat right now. Madeline Stanley writes, I like when people call sprinkles Jimmy's. And I will let you know that's the first time I've ever heard anyone in the world call a sprinkle a Jimmy.
Isn't that a condom? Another word
for that's a Jimmy hat. Yeah. That's a different thing.
Oh, that's a Jimmy. Oh, you say Jimmy.
My mom and dad called them Jimmy's.
Is Jimmy hat racially motivated?
I hope not.
Is that something we shouldn't be saying anymore?
Christ, I don't know. I'm Googling.
We'll Google it.
Jimmy Where did hat. That come from?
Just call me.
I don't know.
Galactic.
I just Jimmy know it's hat. An old
Urban
term.
Dictionary. Be sure. Yeah, just a condom. I'm not seeing.
Whenever it's an old term, you just got to be careful sometimes.
Oh, you're just. There's
things that I've said are like, oh, we can't say that anymore. Oh, shit. My bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was tied to this thing, you know?
A lot of people are saying, yeah, Cody Hagler here is saying Jimmy's are condoms.
Yeah.
Now that's a Jimmy hat is a condom.
No, but I've heard
Jimmy is pretty clearly my dick.
But there's also Jimmy hats also seem to be a type of actual hat
for Jimmy.
Are they brimless
hats? For James.
No, it's really weird. Kevin, if you can Google Jimmy hat.
That was good. He got me.
And look up the images. It's a little weird. And I don't understand what the context of this is, but it looks like a little golf hat with a little pom-pom on the top with orange hair coming out of it.
That's not a real
thing. Now, what was it? Jimmy hat? I mean, is that what you're asking me to Google?
Just type in Jimmy hat and click Google images. It's every single picture.
That seems dangerous, you know?
Whoa. But when you do type out Jimmy's, it does come up as sprinkles. Oh, but then Boston.com says it's a racist. Call them Jimmy's.
Sprinkles? Yeah. Wait. So we thought it might be racist to call a condom a Jimmy hat. No, that's all clear. But calling sprinkles Jimmies is racist.
Jimmies.
This is weird. This is weird.
Isn't this weird? What's the story here?
I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Maybe this guy's name is Jimmy, and he was just very popular.
Scottish thing.
No, it looks Scottish. It's got that Scottish plaid.
You got to be careful. And there's also a Jimmy John's hat.
Jimmy hat, a plural. Slang for a condom. That's great. You know what people don't talk about enough, Greg? The little ball sprinkles.
Not gross.
The long, chalky ones. Little ball ones. You never actually pop them. You never actually like mush them because they're so small they fit in between all the grooves of your teeth. You just swallow them and hope to God they don't come out like sandpaper later.
No, here's the thing. I feel like the ball sprinkles have taken a back seat over the years, and they're slowly disappearing from current sort of ice cream. I guess different shops and things like that. Because you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you open up a pill and the little beads fall out. Or it reminds me of the beads
in a
Neutrogena face wash of some sort. You know, like I no longer see those beads. I don't have the connotation of that's a sweet thing. I'm like, that's a medicinal thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. There was nothing cooler than those pills when your grandparents were sick or whatever, and you'd look at them and they were like, it's a pill, but then inside the pill are many little pills. That looks like you're like, holy shit, I'm getting hyper medicine. Like, that's some kind of super future. Real quick, to close the gap on this, Boston.com's article here from 2015 says, in his book, World Myths, Debunking Linguistic Urban Legends, author David Wilton looked at the term Jimmy and declared that while the true origin of Jimmy's could not be definitively established, there was no evidence of any racist intentions in the name. Even though you're talking about Jimmy hats being racist, this is about Jimmy the sprinkle that Madeline Stanley just introduced us to. But it does look clear, even though this woman in the article says she won't use it. Quote, I already stopped saying it. This is after it's been declared. I already stopped saying it, Jessica said, digging in her coffee at cookies and cream. It's not a particularly pleasant word anyway. I don't think I'd start again. Too risky.
No reason to say it.
Jimmy Stanley, maybe you should think about what you're introducing to us, you know?
That was a good one, Tim. You got run over by Greg on that one, but that was a good one. That was a good one.
It's not about corn.
I will say,
I don't care. I've
already said this before, Greg, but you talk about the hyper medicine.
Yeah.
Like, my parents would always try to trick me. They would try to deceive me. And they would, like, Andy doesn't
want to give you like a bottle of blood or something.
Andy can't take his medicine. He keeps choking on this pill. This pill is about the size of his esophagus, and his esophagus is closed up because of strep throat or whatever sort of ailment he has. Yeah, he's got a little tight little throat.
Infamously tight esophagus.
Boy's got a tight little throat. Yeah. We need to like hide it somehow, right? So they would open it up and they would put it in different oatmeals and they would watch me while I was eating the oatmeal. I was like, the fuck y'all watching for? And I knew deep down there was something up. I knew that I was being deceived in some sort of way. And I just didn't know that it was my own family. What's up, Kev?
I said your food was laced with medicine is what
it was. It was. Yeah. It was a pill called Slowbid. I don't remember like how you spell it. I'm just going to type in Slowbid pill.
We've all had the strep throat.
Slowbid was the... It's spelled S-L-O, like slow-mo.
That's cool.
Either way, I fucking hated it. That pill was way too big for me. And I would always, like... It would get caught in my throat. And I would just be, like, trying to, like, scarf down water or whatever I was drinking. And I would just, like... I just fucking vomited out. Such a nightmare trying to take this pill.
I've never understood why... Doctors haven't, like, the pharmaceutical companies haven't figured that out. Instead of giving me a week supply of pills, there's 7 giant horse pills. Why not give me 14 smaller pills and tell me to take 2 at a time? Like, one
and
then
2. Good at taking them.
Yeah.
But what's easier, taking 2 small pills or one? Like, I'm with Andy. My mom used to have to cut them in half for me, but I didn't, like, thinking about it now, she used to cut them in half,
long ways.
I guess not long ways, half ways. But you'd still halfway's a good way to do it. But the thickness of it would still be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's so a lot. You can swallow it. You know, you just gotta get over.
No,
it.
I couldn't because what happens is when you break that little tiny protective barrier,
it's sharp.
Is the coating. No, it's chalky, and it so when jagged. The second you put it in your mouth or taste the medicine, you want to just throw it up. It's
horrible. My god. So slow. My gosh, you remind me of Biaxin. Biaxin is the other antibiotic that was the same thing, Nick, where it was cut in half because it was too big for me and the chalky side was revealed. And I would gag because of the taste, not be like, oh my goodness.
There was a point where when I was a kid, I used to have to take the antibiotic and they'd give you the stuff that tastes like Pepto-Bismol. It was like bubblegum flavored.
Sure.
And you can drink it.
Yeah.
And then I hit a point where I think I must have been like 10 or 11. My mom's like, that doesn't work on you anymore. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And then looking back on it, I think it's just because that would cost more than the pills.
Sure.
I think the pills are probably like $5 and that was like 20. And my mom was like, you'll figure it out. You'll either swallow this thing or we'll just have another kid.
Cheddar McGee says, how does he remember these names? Because I was a very sick child and I was always in the doctor. And at age 6, the doctor would be like, any allergies, to my mom? And I'd be like, yes. Not albuterol. I was C-chlor, Suprax, and penicillin. Those were my three.
Penicillin?
Yeah, those are my three medicinal allergies.
Still?
I don't know. I just like was like that.
That's pretty
a
key, man. That's something you're
in. Yeah, I would have been dead if I was in the 20s or some shit like that. Yeah, if this were 1910, I would have been dead.
Oh, because you gotta take the shots to the gagoots.
Yeah, the gagoots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a sick child.
Kev's been making some good medicine for me. He's been doing, what were they, Kev? Martinis?
Yeah.
Apple teenies. This weekend. The apple teenies. Kev's been rocking. But Kev's been making his little cocktails and it's been a lot of fun. But the key element that he's been adding recently that I just fucking love is edible glitter.
That sounds like such a Joey Noel delight. Well,
it is.
That was for the Aviations, which is a purple drink. And I had pink edible glitter that we got for, I don't know, some Valentine's Day maybe. And it really steps it up a notch.
That you haven't lived until you've ate glitter, you know, because that sounds like the last thing you ever want to do.
Yeah. It doesn't taste good, does it? It has the visual to it. There's no taste.
You don't taste it.
Yeah. And it also doesn't have the scratch factor that you'd expect glitter to have.
Sure. What about the poop? You got a glittery poop sack?
See, that's what I was thinking. Me and Kev were going through the debate. Is it going to be the poop? Is it going to be the pee? It was the pee, boys.
No, you don't. You don't get glittery pee.
How big is your pee hole that it can come out in the pee?
A big pee hole.
Christ.
The man with the big pee hole, of course, is Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Gettys.
That's getting torn out. That's getting pulled out for Twitter, for sure.
Jesus Christ.
That's happening for sure. Don't worry about that.
Well, earlier when Greg was talking, though, he talked about Boston. And Nick, all I want to say is fuck Boston.
Fuck Boston. God, fuck Boston, are you caught up yet? Dude, are you caught up yet?
Big dog.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Winning time.
Is it done? Because I watched episode 9 last night.
I think it's done. I think it's 8 episodes, right?
No, it's 10, I think.
Oh, fuck. Well, I watched the first 8.
Oh, no, you got 2. I think you have 2 more episodes. Because last night I watched episode 9. I think that was last Sunday.
Oh, maybe that was another page then. Because I looked at like all episodes when you can select, like, let me see all the episodes. And it just showed like 2 rows of 4.
You're
right. Sure, 9. Episode 9 was on May 1st and episode 10 was... Episode 10 will be in 5 days.
Yeah, I think that's the season finale, and it's phenomenal. Tim, if you're not watching Winning Time, I think you'll love the hell out of it. It's so fun. It's such a well-made show.
Yeah, we're on Severance. So once that's over, we're gonna Winning Time.
Supposed to be really good too.
Severance was great. Severance was great.
Fantastic,
man. But it's one of those shows that ends. And you're like, fuck, I gotta wait. You know what I mean? I gotta wait for this next fucking season.
That's gonna be one that I watch. I think Dee's not into that. She's like, it looks too sci-fi. It's too twisted for her. But we have been watching Winning Time and Tokyo Vice.
How's Tokyo Vice?
So fucking good.
Yeah.
And it kills me because it makes me want to go back to Tokyo every single episode. It's beautifully shot. All of the supporting cast is great. And of course, it's. Greg, I was texting you because we actually interviewed Jake Adelstein a long time ago. Tim, I don't know if you were working at IGN when we did that. You must have been because we were doing Up at Noon and you were there at the inception of Up at Noon. I distinctly remember you saying, Nick, don't do this. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
We did it anyway. But we interviewed Jake Adelstein based on that book. And I think he was promoting that book at the time.
Tokyo Vice.
And it's fascinating, though, because I remember listening to him, and then I just read an article in the Hollywood Reporter saying, like, he's played a little fast and loose with some of the stuff for this, which is why if you watch the beginning of Tokyo Vice, it's, like, inspired by Jake Adelstein's Twiggy, because a lot of it's just completely kind of fabricated. That's what they're implying in the article in the Hollywood Reporter, that he kind of made some of this stuff up. But I'll tell you what, it makes for a really good piece of fictional narrative content.
Yeah, I want to see that. We're working our way through the final season of Ozarks right now, that second half of season four.
Yeah, D just finished that. She caught me up on that, so I don't have to watch it because that show gives me anxiety.
I heard Kevin talking about Ozark on yesterday's daily stream, and I'm kind of in the same spot as him where I feel like I might need to rewatch it, where I feel like I lost the thread of a lot of what was happening. I don't want to hop into this newer season completely lost. Even
did
though
you
I
watch
know that
the first half of four, or did you?
I haven't watched the first half of four. I was wanting to do that, and then I, you know, Better Call Saul came along, so I started watching that. And then I, 2 weeks ago, I guess at this point, maybe a week ago, I watched the season premiere of Barry, and I was like, damn, I should rewatch Barry because they're only 30 minute episodes.
Barry's so good,
and I definitely need to rewatch it because I lost a lot of what the story threads were, and I don't think episode one was as impactful as it could have been because I just don't remember a lot of what happened. Even though
definitely
I loved
what happened
the show.
Yeah, we turned on the premiere on night one and we were super excited, and I hit it and I didn't realize HBO Max had reset. So it started season one, episode one.
Me too.
And we were watching and I was like, man, this is a long flashback. And then it finally got, I'm like, this is wrong. We got to the scene of him and Fuchs or whatever. Talking,
God, listen,
like, wait a second. No.
God bless HBO Max. I think they're making the best content in the game. Absolutely. But their
Apple
UI
TV,
is
baby.
Fucking garbage. It is garbage when you go through most of the apps. I don't know why. But yeah, I did the same thing, Greg. I was like, I don't know. It's cool. They brought back Fuchs and they're talking for a while. And it kept going. And then he's like, you have to go out to LA. And I was like, okay, I've seen this. I've seen this.
I could have definitely gone for a better recap.
I liked the newest one, though. I mean, I just think Bill Hader does such a great job with that. And the guy, Andy, have you started it yet?
What, Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
The guy, I forget the guy's
Noho Hank. Yeah, yeah.
Is that that's the bald guy?
Albanian.
He's so.
He's incredible.
So good.
Funny. I don't understand. I just can't get over that guy. He's the best. He needs his own show.
Aren't you guys watching Atlanta?
No, Atlanta's the one that I need to watch, and everybody says that I would love it. I just like. Anytime I want to make time for it, a new show comes along or something new is there's a game I'm super addicted to and I just can never get to it. But I know that Atlanta is one of those like appointments sort of viewing when it comes to my tastes and what I'm into.
Yeah, I could not recommend it higher. It's so damn good. And this season in particular, it's like they're just going full on and on committing to furthering the story that they've been building. But then also this is just modern Twilight Zone done. Expertly.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, it's freaking fantastic, man. Every week is just a wild ride.
Or is it
the whole series has always had elements of it, but it's the first couple seasons were a little bit more narrative focused. In terms of like episode to episode, does have a plot that's kind of like growing. It's way more character based than anything though, and it is more like slice of life of just what's going on. Like the actual plot of their story is almost the background to the commentary being made, but it's so damn good that whenever this season has a format that is essentially boiled down to every other episode is either about the main cast or totally unrelated without like, there'll be like maybe one minor thing that ties it to the core storyline, but it is extremely, extremely well made and keeps you on your toes where every week you don't know exactly what you're expecting besides quality.
I need to rewatch Fargo season four, the one with, or is it three? I forget which one. The one with Chris Rock. That was, I believe, the most recent season of Fargo, which always delivers kind of in a Ozark kind of way, where I don't think Ozark is the deepest show thematically, but it constantly brings the thrills and like the suspense. And I feel like Fargo is kind of the same. And I think season four is the one that starred Chris Rock. And I started it, and then same story with every other show. It's just something else came along, and I totally got distracted by it. I'd been meaning to ask y'all, what do you all think of Netflix's, like, all the sort of shit that they're going through right now with dropping a lot of shows, with, you know, they're raising subscriber price, and they're losing subscribers? Because it kind of, in a way, almost reminds me of what Twitch is going through right now, where Twitch is losing a lot of their high viewage channels to mm-hmm. YouTube Gaming, because YouTube Gaming is willing to pay out more for it. And YouTube Gaming, you get a better cut of your subscriptions or whatever, of whatever you're getting paid. And it all, and it seems like Twitch is continuously kind of doing things to annoy the creators and annoy the viewers. And it feels like Netflix is kind of the same way. We're like, oh, by the way, all those shows you got canceled. Oh, also, you're paying more this month. Oh, that animated show you're looking forward to, that's gone as well. Like, I feel like there's constantly just negative waves and negative waves of things happening to the viewers. And I just don't know, like, will Netflix ever come back from this? Does Netflix try to somehow consolidate their streaming package? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, go for it, Nick.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you're seeing the growing pains of streaming as it's progressed through the years, and I think you're seeing Netflix sort of suffering from what, thankfully, HBO and Disney don't have to suffer from, is that they don't really have the tentpole like movies that can come out in theaters like Disney does, and then come immediately to their streaming platform to offer that extra value. So I think Netflix has to figure out something to do, because Stranger Things season 4 ain't going to move the needle. Although I love it and I'm looking forward to it, I think it's just really hard for them to keep up with that constant need. And you have to remember also, I think they had like, they were forecasting like in the hundreds of millions of subscribers. And so that's a lot of people to keep happy for a long period of time. But I don't know, I hope they don't go away. I like Netflix, and I like that there's competition in the marketplace, especially since, you know, Amazon Prime's out there not really picking up the slack, if you know what I'm talking about, Tim. But the good news is Joey just the good news is Joey just told me that I could absolutely, my login I have for her Hulu was absolutely correct. So
yeah, it still works. Yeah, it still works.
So that's,
you're
that's
still logged in there.
Yeah, huge.
Because I feel like if it were garbage, I feel like
Hulu's great.
I feel like Ozark season 4, the final season or whatever, could have been on the chopping block if it came at a later date, or if it was at a different time. Like if Ozark was in the middle of season 2 or 3 right now, I feel like that's a show that may have gotten the cut, because it looks like a bit of a bigger budget. You know, you're paying for some bigger stars there. Well, I guess really only Jason Bateman, but I just feel like they don't really like, I feel like there's a lot of people's favorite shows that are getting the axe.
Well, Netflix historically has only done like 2 or 3 seasons anyway, right? Isn't 2, didn't they say back in the day that 2 was like the magic number for them? So anything that went beyond 2 was like must have been incredibly popular.
That's kind of where we're at, and that's why I don't think that this is like nearly as doom and gloom as people are making out to be. And like, of course, everyone has their own things that they're looking for from these streaming services. But, you know, we talk about video games a lot and the competition between Xbox and PlayStation, and it's like, sure, PlayStation's winning the console war this year or this generation, but at the end of the day, it's like, are they though, or is everyone just winning because they're all kind of doing their own thing the right way, and their metrics are kind of different, even like what they're kind of looking at as a success and what makes sense for them to double down on versus do more of, less of, all that stuff. Like Netflix was the first to kind of create this whole ecosystem and the idea of original shows like with House of Cards and all that, but we are a decade out from that, right? So much has changed. Like the key of success for Netflix was a bunch of high quality originals, a bunch of just fodder content, and the library content of things like The Office that people are kind of coming back to every night,
Friends,
all that stuff. Yeah. And as the rest of the streaming companies kind of came up, and we see them in a bunch of different ways consolidate, even looking at, I know that we have, it seems like more than ever now, but it's not more than ever. It's just kind of consolidated top line versions of what all the different ones used to be, like looking at Peacock, right? How that evolved from formerly CBS All Access or whatever it was called, and WWE Network, and all these other things are now just one thing. It's Peacock, right? Paramount Plus is a similar concept. Disney and Hulu, I think, are in the weirdest place, and that's all just because of ownership and licensing and all that. Yeah. But I guarantee, like 100%, by the end of 2023, Hulu will
consolidate it.
Just not exist. It'll just be part of Disney Plus. So with that, I just think that everyone has their own kind of strategies, and Netflix has always canceled things what seems to be prematurely, and like, yeah, that sucks, but they're also at the forefront of pushing new formats and new ideas. Like what they're doing with reality shows is working for them and it's successful and Love is Blind and that stuff, The Circle, all of that.
And that's going to be way cheaper than the other produced content.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. That's why reality shows exist in
general. It's weird. And I don't hold this against them, right? But they have to, they're trying different things, but they're trying things that are sort of antithetical to what their original business model was. And again, to Tim's point, it was 10 years ago. So business model shifts because landscapes shift because things, new technologies emerge and new competitors emerge. But the fact that they're flirting with the idea of doing ads, the fact that they said originally they were like, we're never going to have a theatrical release movie. And now they're like, we're putting some movies in theaters just to get those awards and stuff like that. I think they're trying different stuff. And I think they're trying to stay competitive. And I still think they're top three of the streaming services, I would say. But yeah, I don't know, man. I hope it doesn't go away. I like
Netflix. I mean, it's not going to. I mean, the reality is like they're changing what they do and they have been changing what they do. But what, like you just said, like what they said 10 years ago is different than what they said 5 years ago, different than 2 years ago.
Yeah,
especially now, like the ad supported stuff, like it's the way of the future. Like Disney, all rumors and like it's essentially confirmed they're going to have an ad supported thing coming out later this year. And that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Disney Plus.
Yeah, like, but Hulu already has that, right? Hulu already has
Hulu's ad supported ads.
And I believe
Disney Plus. Is going to, everyone's going to be Amazon ad-supported as well, in some way. Yeah, all of them. Because they're realizing that there isn't limitless growth. And that's what we're seeing with Netflix is that all the doom and gloom numbers coming out right now is just that they're not getting this astronomical growth up of subscriber base. So what they need to do is find new ways to monetize. And that's where the ads come in. So it's like, they're going to find ways to make the money any which way. It's just going to be different than they have before. But the reality is Netflix is doing great. When you look at their, it's just a different kind of focus. Like what's that movie? Red Notice, something like the stats for that, like, are
his favorite movies.
People are watching them. They're showing up for those things and they're watching them to levels that are like as much, if not even more than things like The Batman on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're doing things that are working. They just, not all the things are going to work for everyone the same way, but I think that's kind of Netflix's kind of special sauce right now, is that they don't have the IPs, so it kind of allows them to just make these big, like, sweeping moves and riskier things that once they find formats, they can kind of iterate on those formats until they don't work anymore, which we're kind of seeing with the animation side of stuff. And on the flip side of that, Amazon's animation studios are booming. They're doing fantastic because the audience is there.
It goes back to what you're talking about, what they judge success by, right? Because, yeah, the Red movie, that Red Notice, whatever it was, with The Rock, yes, Rock, I see Mike freaking out in the chat about it. But with Rock, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot, right? Like, that had those crazy numbers, but it was also a movie that I started and then we stopped. We're like, or it wasn't even really stopped, like, out of disgust. It was just we stopped to go to bed, and the next day it was like, do you want to continue? Like, no. Not really.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was, seemed to be the general vibe of it, whereas something when you compare it to something like Ozark or something on the other platforms that's getting more critical acclaim, right, that I think maybe brings viewers in or subscribers in and keeps them. That's the thing, right? Like, I think you're talking about retention, you're talking about day one numbers, sure, but those can be not connected, right? Those can go different directions.
Well, it's tough though, because you have to have that. That's like they're playing in a different sport, like a completely different league than the rest of the competitors, though, because you have to appease hundreds of millions of subscribers.
Sure,
so
sure.
And they do have good shows. Stranger Things is a great show. I'm looking forward to season 4 when it comes out later this month. But they also have a litany of really crappy original programming and or acquired programming that they've gotten from at one point the floodgates opened and they were just like, listen, do you have a show? I don't care what language it's in. I don't care how good it is. We just need it. And that's a weird place for them to be in. So I think they're doing some backpedaling now, as opposed to like HBO Max, which has just a legacy of, I would say, probably the best original content, as well as all the Warner catalog, which is pretty powerful. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's all good. The other day, Tim had tweeted how he feels like he's getting more value now out of all of these subscription based things compared to cable. And like, I couldn't agree more to him. I think obviously back in the day you pay for cable. I remember when I was back home hanging with my family and I was kind of showing them the option of YouTube TV. And I was like, yeah, I pay $70 a month and it's just, it's all there. Like the channels that you watch, mom, there's Bravo, there's all your fucking whatever channels. And I was like, yeah, it's $80. And they're like, wait, for all this? They're like, wow, because we pay, I think they paid like $190 or something fucking ridiculous for cable. And when I think of having cable TV.
Let's not point fingers at people who haven't cut the cord yet. who are paying $150 and may or may not have a second internet connection they just remembered they had and never shut off.
Because when I think of cable, I think of you are getting a lot of content and maybe one or two tentpole shows, right? Like if you're paying for cable, you're getting the Game of Thrones and you're getting a bunch of shit on TNT and USA and whatever, WB, like whatever channels exist on there, you're getting kind of the network style thing. But, and you're paying around $150. With all of these sort of subscription bases, they all have their tentpole things. They, like Apple Plus has not only Severance, but other shows that people say are must watch. HBO has right now not only Barry, but all of Game of Thrones, and they have all of the catalog of Sopranos and all of those sort of tentpole shows. When you think of, I guess, literally any other product, there's like one that people say that's a must watch TV show. And I feel like if you're paying for cable, you might be paying $30-$40 more than you would if you were paying for all these subscription fees, but you're getting Rizzoli and Isles or whatever. I feel like that's always the punchline.
Don't be talking shit. It's always Rizzoli the punchline.
You're throwing a lot of shots out there, bro. You better back that off right now.
No, it's true though. I mean, it goes back to just like the entire goal and how this content's made. Like, it's funny because like talking about like what's the best streaming service. Like, I think at this point, like they are more equal than they are different. And I think that with that, everyone's looking for something different. And people that don't like Marvel and Star Wars, guess what? Disney Plus is not a great value for you, but you are also a minority in the market at this point, right? Like people, the mainstream are into that stuff and like they are delivering that stuff at a ridiculous pace. And it's they're showing up and it's movies, it's TV shows, it's all of that. But Apple Plus these days, like I don't think that anybody that actually is watching stuff on Apple Plus can argue that it is equal in content to HBO Max, which is unbelievable. That we're at an era that people are making content that is as good as HBO content. Cause that used to be the one channel that did some stuff on that level. And that's like the gold standard is now across the board. Like everyone is striving for that gold. Yeah. Some are delivering more than others, but even then it's like Netflix being like the trash that it is of like the amount of just shit that they have. There's a place for that, right? That's the reason people enjoy cable for things that are not just prestige, but when it is just kind of like looking for some TNT movie to put on, it's on Netflix, right?
Jurassic
and if you're looking
Park
for
3.
Something specific, exactly, like that type of stuff. But if you're looking for specific stuff, you just got to think who owns it. Cool, go to theirs. And yeah, it does start getting really expensive. And like, you know, everyone always says, oh, I'm paying as much as I used to pay for cable. It's like, while that is true, if you're paying for all of them, you were getting so much more content of every degree, whether it's bad, good, amazing, everything in between. And I think that's where the real value is every single one. In the tweet that Andy's talking about, I said Netflix, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Peacock, Paramount Plus, all of them deliver more than what I pay for in terms of entertainment and content that I enjoy from every different aspect.
And I'd say more high quality viewings. And you know, like having multiple shows that you can point to and say, any one of these this year can win an Emmy. Like there will be there will be at least five different shows from five different streaming platforms that will be up for awards because creators that only made for cable back in the day are now everywhere. Those writers and directors are now being pitched for shows on every platform possible. I want to check out that new show on HBO with John Bernthal.
Yeah.
The one with the writer from The Wire. Like I want to check out, it's another crime sort of drama in Baltimore. Like fuck yeah, I'm down for that. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. Winning Time, absolutely fantastic. A show that I just didn't necessarily think I was going to watch cuz I don't really care about the Lakers history, and when I think of the era of sports that I care about the most, I don't care about 70s basketball. I care about, you know, we talk about the Jordan doc a lot. Like 90s basketball is like one of my favorite eras. And I just didn't think I was going to care about 70s and sort of the ascent of the Lakers era and becoming the Lake show. And it is so compelling and it's so good. And I feel it's just a great time for all these creators to have multiple outlets to get pitched on to go, yeah, we're going to go make a show over there because why not? Like, I always feel really confused, Tim, whenever I see ads for IMDb TV. Like, who the fuck is making original content for IMDb? Like, what even is that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying earlier about the consolidation of, like, there are a bazillion different streaming services, but they're all just going to get gobbled up little by little into what will end up being, like, the final group that just kind of lasts forever, quote unquote. Who the hell knows? But, like, yeah. I think the ones I named, like, they're in it for the long haul at this point. I think that things like IMDb TV are going to get gobbled up if they aren't already. I don't even know exactly who owns that. I think probably Amazon more. Owns IMDb. But
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so it's like at some point that I think is just a different wrapper on the same content that they're just trying to get to different people. But I'm so happy with shit, man.
Yeah, I love YouTube TV. Like, I swear by it. I think it's awesome that
fantastic.
When I went back home, you can use your YouTube TV out of market for up to 3 weeks, which is really rare because usually they shut that shit down when it comes to local sports markets. But it'll be like, hey, we notice you're not at home. Like, are you using it here? Like, yeah, okay. Well, you have 3 weeks to use it here, which is fantastic. And YouTube TV has become my home for the office because I don't have wherever. Is that Peacock?
Peacock, yeah.
Yeah. The office is just comfort viewing. Put it on, you know, let it play in the background. And it's all just there because I selected The Office as one of my favorite shows. So it records every episode that. And it has it all organized like it would have it on a streaming service. It's like, here's all the seasons. Here's all the episodes. Some of them are on Comedy Central. Some of them are on whatever other channel they're talking about. Yeah. But it's all there. And then I get all my sports packages there as well. That's how I have the NBA TV, the MLB package, NFL. Like, it's YouTube TV has become more and more of an everyday thing for me, where at first I was like, I'm probably not going to use this a whole lot. And now with Better Call Saul back on AMC, it's awesome. It's awesome.
How does that equate to news, though? Because that's the one thing I'm always hesitant to cut.
It has all local news.
It's got everything. It's got CNN. It's got local news. It's got what you want. We have it for the local news, so you can turn it on and see what's going on.
So you've cut the cable.
Yeah, I pay like $70. Oh, yeah,
but I did that years ago.
Okay.
YouTube TV is on another fucking level, man. It doesn't have every single channel, but like, if it has the channels you're looking for, like,
I need Bravo usability and MSNBC, wise, and that's pretty much it.
Bravo's there for sure. Bravo's there for sure. I know that well, but I'm about to cut it soon because my YouTube TV, because they just announced that all Bravo shows are now going to be next day on Peacock. I'm like, cool. Great. The thing I needed YouTube for, don't need it anymore. But YouTube TV is great because you can actually pause live TV and scroll backwards if you miss something, and it's like that is just
all uploaded on a server.
Such great functionality that you don't get from like Hulu TV, at least last time I used it.
I was in an Uber on the way to go watch a movie when we were all going to go watch a movie at the Metreon, and I was watching a Spurs game in the Uber off my YouTube TV on my phone. And then couple days later, I had gone back home to the Valley because I was there for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whichever holiday it was. And I remember showing my parents this app and being like, oh, I can continue the Spurs game that I was watching in the car. And the game just pops up and it's all still there. And I could just continue watching the game that aired 7 days ago. It's weird in that way where you just sort of still have that library there streaming, even though it's all saved to like a digital DVR. It's awesome. It's really cool. Not sponsored by YouTube TV.
It's funny though, because Tim talks about like Disney, right? Disney being like the house of Star Wars and Marvel, and that's a very distinct identity. I feel like that's the one thing Netflix is kind of lacking right now, is I don't think they have a specific. They used to be like this cutting edge house where you'd go for this cool streaming original content. And I feel like it's gotten murky. Whereas HBO Max somehow stayed, I think, true to its lineage of just being an extension of HBO's original programming. And when you say HBO, like it's an HBO original, it has a certain quality level to it and a certain vibe that I'm in for. I'll give it a shot no matter what it is. Whereas I think Netflix is kind of having some issues with that right now.
You know the hit to miss ratio is like way higher on the hit.
It's gonna be 9-1, right?
Yeah.
Like, and even if it's something that I don't like, it doesn't mean it's not good. It's just not necessarily for me when it's on HBO more often than not.
I kind of feel like that is Netflix's identity at this point. Is that it's kind of just the place that you go when you're not when you don't know exactly what you're looking for, right? When you go to Disney Plus, you know you're looking for Star Wars or Marvel or Pixar or kids stuff, right? And that's slowly changing. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of that change over the next year as Hulu stuff gets kind of brought in. Hulu is if you're looking for TV shows that are like on live TV and you're just trying to get them the next day. Like Hulu's where Atlanta is. It's where all the FX shows are. And that stuff is fantastic. Pretty much anything FX is putting out is like banger quality shit, and that's you get it on Hulu, right? But then Peacock and all those are a little bit more specialized in the type of content that you're looking for. If you're a wrestling fan, Peacock's where you go. If you're a Bravo fan, Peacock's where you go, that stuff. But Netflix to me, and it's been this for a long time, I think is kind of this hodgepodge. If you log in, you're like, oh, there's a new comedy special or this new reality show or this movie that looks fucking horrible. Let's watch it just for turn our brain off and have a good time.
And what, Lana Condor's in space?
Why are we watching Wild Wild West?
Yeah,
that's why you were.
Netflix is, we all talk about the TNT and the Jurassic Park 3s and stuff. That's what Netflix is. And there's a real value to that that it is only important and only valuable to me because we have Apple and HBO and Disney and the other things to like have that quality at all times.
That's a great point, because you know me, I like, there's more often than not, one of the reasons I like having cable is because I like to just start at like 700 and slowly go down the entire guide and then go over to Netflix. And I feel like that's what Netflix is. It's the house you go through. Like, I don't even know if I want to watch something. I'm just gonna blade through all these options of shows I've either watched three times all the way through, or I can tell just from the first 10, like 5 seconds of the preview that plays, that this is a show they spent absolutely no money on, and or a movie that was no money on. And I'm just going to go right past this. But I think there is an importance to that. I think you have to have a little bit of that void filled with just stuff you know you're not going to want to watch. But I will say, if Netflix didn't have Seinfeld right now, I don't think I would have logged on to Netflix in a very long time.
Yeah, the way it usually works is in the carousel, right, is depending on what we're in the mood for. But Amazon goes on for me to look at new release movies, see what's that's been.
That's the rental house, right?
Exactly. Like, what am I gonna rent? I was gonna describe Netflix originally as like a Blockbuster, but Amazon's the Blockbuster where I go through the carousel and I look through what are the new releases, what's still in theaters, what's coming out here, what's finally out here. And then from there, if I'm going to Netflix is the, usually for me, it's the top 10, like what's trending today on Netflix, because usually there's something is surfaced up there that'll be up my alley, some documentary or some series or something like that. Or, yeah, whatever new series is back. But then all the other ones, yeah, to Tim's point, branch out into specializations, right, where Peacock is solely for WWE. Like, I don't think I've watched anything else on Peacock. No, we did In Review, and one of the movies we did was on there, I remember, and I watched it there. And then HBO Max is the same thing, where HBO Max is the Sunday night app. Of like, what awesome show does HBO have on Sunday night that I need to be watching right now, right? And we've just come off of a whole bunch with like Euphoria and whatnot. And now it's Barry, but like, that's the Sunday night drop zone of getting into it. And then, yeah, you can just go through every other use case of every other one of these, like Apple TV being like, oh man, well, everybody's talking about Severance, let's go watch Severance. And we you know, went and watched all Severance and turned off Apple TV, and I haven't been back for anything. And I'll wait for the next, you know, must watch recommendation.
Are you canceling Apple TV?
No, I have it still, you know, with the phone. I feel like every time I buy a new phone every year, it's like, oh, hey, well, you got a free year Apple TV. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's just always there.
Dude, I'm telling you, Apple TV is the one that is like the unsung hero of all this right now, where it's like the quality of Severance, it's there with almost everything they put out. It's like the morning show. I know people, not everyone loves it. It's not everyone's thing.
Jennifer Aniston, right? Janina's in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Gia's super into that. But like the Mythic Quest is fantastic. Ted Lasso, everybody seems to love. I haven't seen it. After Party was fucking great. It wasn't consistent the entire time, but overall first season was so good. We know season two is coming. Like Apple TV really has a lot of HBO quality stuff, and that is not hyperbole, and that is insane. I never thought we'd get another streaming service that brings the heat the way that Apple TV continues to do. Besides HBO, like we expect that from HBO.
Yeah, the one thing about Apple though is like I go for the show and then I never go back on, because they don't. I just, to me, this is just my perception, is that it's like it's like a boutique shop that sells like three pairs of high-end jeans, and you're like, well, once I have one of those high-end jeans, I don't need the rest of them, right? Whereas Netflix is like a Costco. We're like, I don't really need any of this stuff, but I just enjoy walking around it and seeing what. Yeah, exactly. It's like Target.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think HBO and Apple are actually, Apple's just HBO, but many, many, many years behind, right? Like yes. HBO has the season three of this, season two of this, and whatever to kind of like be surrounding their new shows they're doing. They they always do that thing where they show you the trailers of their upcoming projects before you watch stuff. And I know a lot of people hate that. I personally love it because when they're telling me about something I was not looking forward to, of course I'm looking forward to Miss Marvel. I know that's coming. I'm looking forward to Kenobi. I know that's coming. I don't know that Severance is coming, you know, but when I was watching whatever the last Apple TV or After Party, I was watching After Party and they played a trailer for Severance. So then I'm like, oh shit, I guess I'm in for this too. And I think they do a really good job of kind of positioning themselves that way. And real quick, I just want to say the opposite of that is Peacock and Paramount, that I think they are still very much struggling to find their identity and their thing. And they're a lot messier, still a lot of value there, but they are not, they don't have the stuff yet.
What's that show with God dang Morbius, the actor?
The WeWork show?
On Apple Plus. God, dude, I get served that ad on Twitter,
dude,
every goddamn second when I'm scrolling, and I'm like, I hate this ad. It's just a close up of his weird face. Stop with his ad.
It's a good show. And if you haven't seen the documentary, is it Netflix or was it HBO that had the documentary on WeWork? Good documentary as well. That's the one thing that I was gonna say is like. The one thing that I think, again, HBO might be still a nudge ahead of everyone is in the documentary.
We Crashed, says Dale Sapwell. Is that what the show's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I tuned in for a couple episodes that Dee was watching, and she went through the whole series, and I was like, God, this show's fucking well made. It's like, it's addicting to watch. But Jared Leto's just so weird as that character, and Anne Hathaway is so Anne Hathaway, which is actually perfect for the person she's playing as well.
God, well, I think it's perfect. Man who rounds out our quartet, the Hispanic heartthrob, cool. Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the Globetrotting, headshotting, Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
The Grub Snacks champ.
No, well, I mean, it's a belt he made up, so that's not a real thing to worry about. Don't worry about that.
I still dominate number one games journalist.
That is accurate. That is accurate.
The man who doesn't miss, the number one games journalist. Come on, baby.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah. All right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the Kinda Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunny. Over on patreon.com/kindafunny, you can kick us a few bucks to write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do. And just like Mike L., Madeline Stanley, and Danny Tamayo, you could be watching live right now, all on patreon.com/kindafunny. But if you've got no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You, of course, can get each and every episode of the show on youtube.com/kindafunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every week. Of course, you could also use the creator code kindafunny on the Epic Game Store. If you're not playing on PC, no big deal. When you play Fortnite, Rocket League, and or Fall Guys, you could still use the creator code kindafunny to kick a few bucks our way. Housekeeping for you. There's a brand new Kind of Funny Gamescast up right now, and it has Reggie on it. That's right, Reggie, Tim.
I'm Reggie. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I can't believe it. I've been having an amazing day right now. So many people being so nice to me about our interview, and that's been very damn cool. And I still can't believe we had Reggie himself on the Kind of Funny Games cast. So thank you all for watching. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you, Reggie.
I also think we killed it.
Me too, Andy. Agreed. Me too.
I think there were a lot of people in the comments saying, like, damn, it should have just been only Greg and Tim doing this, Greg or Tim, like I just one person doing the interview. Whenever they have multiple people, it always gets messy. And I was like,
Did you bring up the elevator thing with him?
Not to him. We did bring it up in other stories. We had limited time, Kev. We had limited time.
All right, that makes sense. You can't waste it.
Danny Tamayo. This is his name, by the way. Danny's in the chat live, and he's like, Tamayo, just like Cinco de Mayo. That cracked me up, and I like that one. Go fuck yourself, Danny. Of course, there's also new merch coming at kindoffunny.com/store this week, this Thursday. There's a Portillo line of merch dropping. Keep your eyes peeled for it. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Anonymous, Nathan Lamoff, Delaney Twinning, Gordon McGuire, and Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by ExpressVPN, Chime, and Babbel. And hey, I'll tell you about it right now.
Shout out to Babbel for sponsoring this episode. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. Definitely not me. I took Spanish, didn't do well in it the first time, did okay the second time. You know what? We'll move on. Now, thanks to Babbel, a language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Greg Miller has been learning French little by little, and now when he goes back home to Canada to see Jen's family, he'll be able to communicate better. Isn't that a lovely situation? Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Right now, you can save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/kindoffunny. That's babbel.com/kindoffunny for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. One more time, babbel.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like walking your dog in public without securing them on a leash. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but what if one day your dog runs away or gets dognapped? It's better to be careful, especially when it's as simple as using ExpressVPN. We've been using ExpressVPN here at Kinda Funny for years now. Me personally, I've been using it, and I know that my internet browsing is secure. It just gives me that peace of mind that I need. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, you're online. Online data is not secure, but ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so they can't, and it's great. I use it on my desktop. I use it on my phone. I use it everywhere that I use the internet. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is more than just about getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. You can get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer.
All right, we're back.
I wanted to just really quickly say, I remember the point I was trying to think of when Tim is mentioning always getting the pre-rolls and the sort of here's our other programming before this big show you want to watch. Mm-hmm. I brought it up on the Better Call Saul screencast we did that about 17 people watched in total.
Nice.
How I just had those flashbacks of Breaking Bad ending and flashbacks to Better Call Saul beginning, where AMC is so desperately trying to bring you into their other shows. Like, please look at this other programming we got going on. Like, before, it's like, I don't care about whatever else you got. No, thank you.
Dude, good. AMC is the absolute worst when it comes to it. And they're a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Of they just need to get gobbled up by someone else to have a better experience. Because the way they're changing the way their content works to better, like, bolster their AMC Plus nonsense, where if I'm understanding this correctly, we have part 4 of the final Walking Dead season coming up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is not okay. That is just so ridiculous that it's entirely like, I'm not kidding. Like, that's what the marketing is. It is like, because, you know, it's like the final season, part 1. And then it's like the final season is actually just half of the final season. So it's part 1, part 2, and then the final season, part 2, part 1.
Oh, okay. That's weird as hell.
Fucking ridiculous. And if you use AMC Plus, you get things a couple days early or whatever. I know. Hey, everyone. Guess what? We have 2 Patreons, and it's confusing for us, too. I understand that. We're just a couple people trying to get by. We're not fucking AMC, man. Figure your shit out. Come on.
Yeah.
We don't have a full team of marketing.
The biggest offender to me. Like, I was praising Apple and HBO because they're giving me ads for their shows that I actually want to watch, and that's, I think, a service to me. You can easily skip it. They never force you to watch it. That shit's great. I can't believe that I pay for the highest tier Peacock, and you have to watch ads multiple times an episode. There is no ad-free tier for Peacock. Disaster.
I mean, dude, back in the day, paying for again, like I pay for always like the premium things, and people would always say like, man, you're rich, Andy. I'm like, no, I'm fiscally irresponsible, and paying for Hulu without ads was like one of the biggest upgrades I had ever made at that time, because I was watching a lot of Hulu, and holy shit, I was getting so annoyed with not the amount of times I was served an ad, the same ad is what really annoyed me. Like, I wasn't bothered that I was watching an episode of Seinfeld and I was watching two ads in an episode. Big deal. That happens in normal TV.
Sure.
But it was always, if I'm watching 4 hours of Seinfeld because I'm binging just lazy, I'm watching the same ad delivered the same way. It's the same video. I'm watching that at least 12 times and it's fucking obnoxious.
Like watching an IGN video.
it was so annoying. It's like I don't mind getting multiple ads like a normal TV, but holy cow, this was like getting really egregious. So I just ended up paying for the premium version of it.
I think Amazon does it well, because when I watch Night Court, they do well serving good ads there.
Night Court, Jesus Christ.
No, see, with Peacock, it's the same thing, Andy, but you can't pay out of it. It's like I paid for the highest tier, and three times an episode, they're serving me ads, and it's the same three ads. And I can't believe it. I do not want to go on this cruise in Seattle. I just don't. Yeah, why you keep showing me this with the same fucking song? It's so frustrating, man. I would literally pay double the price to not deal with this, and they just won't let me.
I'll tell you right now. I watch Peacock, but I watch it through Comcast. Would you guys want to talk about the worst experience you can possibly have? Open up an app within Comcast cable. It takes forever to open, and I swear to God, it's one of those things, if you even touch your controller to try to pause or rewind it, it starts the whole fucking episode over after 5 minutes of a little spinny thing in the middle of the screen. It's horrible.
I hate that shit. I can't believe how bad, you know, for Peacock, you know, as somebody who I subscribed to WWE Network before it, and I can't believe how bad Peacock is compared to WWE Network, where like WWE Network at least, you know, used to be able to watch a pay-per-view and they'd have it like not time coded, but like where you could jump, you see a little thing. You could move between matches. Peacock's such a nightmare to even, like fucking trying to get through anything and figure out where you were.
I'm just going to throw this out for anybody who watches a lot of ads. And because I've been watching The Office, and I can fast forward to the ads, luckily, because they are recorded. But I usually don't, because it's just playing and I'm on my phone or whatever. So one thing that has just been burrowed in my brain for the last fucking month is choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. God damn. The fucking Wendy's ad that always plays on TV, and the guy at the end, it's gotten to the point where when I say it to myself, I'm just going like, choose Wendy's. Because it's like the way he says it. It's just like, there's no E in there, Tim. It's an I for sure. And it's just choose Wendy's. So I need people to like break out my audio and overlay it on top of that ad. I know I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not alone.
Other people have seen this. Not. Other people know.
Yeah.
Guys, this has been a big entertainment episode. And Andy, before you get any food, I need you to help Chelsea G. Are you up to the task?
Sure. Yeah.
It's a walk. Stick with me. Hey, everyone. Kind of funny. To get right into the story, I am expecting twins, a boy and a girl. I've been thinking about names for a while now, even before I knew the genders. There are a few names I've settled on, but I'm willing to compromise with their dad, Louise. Louise is a major fan of you guys and introduced, and it could be Louis, by the way, of you guys, and introduced me to the podcast. This may be way too much information, but I'm 1,000% sure they were conceived with your podcast playing in the background.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Good. They better have been.
I can't be right. That's not healthy.
Proof. 100%. I need proof.
Anyways, Louise and or Louis is a huge Star Wars fan and insists on naming them Luke and Leia. Although I think it's a cute idea, I'm not really a fan, and I promise it has nothing to do with me being a Trekkie. Mm-hmm. I don't really like the name Luke on its own and would never want name my son that. Naming them Luke and Leia may be at most a fun fact for them to bring up at parties when they're older. I think they need names that highlight them as individuals, not twins.
Too many jokes about them kissing.
Yeah, Louis, it's going to be a lot will about that. Not budge on this.
Not
let's
enough.
Let's get through the story. Hold on one second. Let's go.
17 years.
I swear we're almost done. Will not budge on this, and we have small arguments about it frequently. During one of our last conversations about it, he joked I should ask y'all for your opinion. So I am. Please feel free to agree, disagree, or come up with your own names. LLAP. Then the Trekkie live long and prosper, Chelsea.
Luke's a fantastic name. Leia's a fantastic name. If you have twins in there, Luke and Leia, I mean, come the fuck on. I'm not the biggest fan in the world of like naming your kids or things after like things that you love.
I say that with you said, come the fuck on. I thought you said, if you have a twin's name, Luke and Leia, I may come the fuck on.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Big difference there.
I'm a fan of Leia as a girl's name and Luke as a boy's name, and the fact that they're twins, the fact that it's Star Wars, the fact that all that stuff. We also know how those stories kind of end, so that it's not like a Daenerys situation where you're like, uh-oh, y'all fucked up.
Yeah, Luke turns into a total bitch.
But that's my thing. If you're okay with that and you can just fucking live with those decisions, I think it's like
Leia can fly through space.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think those are cool names, but also I get it. Like giving them I think that you don't need to worry about them having their own identities. They'll figure that out themselves. But I'm team Luke and Leia.
Here's what I say. You name them Luke and Leia, right? Or it'd be awesome if they already had kids. So if you could have twins again in the future, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you name the first set of twins like Paul and Ringo. Jacob or something. So people are like, oh, biblical names. And then the next one, yeah, we're naming them Luke and Leia. And then people are like, oh, well, Luke is a biblical name. But like, why Leia? Like, you were going with the biblical theme and you totally just went off course. Like, I think that would be maybe three sets of twins if we can work that out somehow. Okay. And then do like Paul and Jacob, and then do like, I'm looking at biblical names right now.
Well, at this point, though, because you could have any kids. You don't have to be twins at that point, right? If you had just two other kids beforehand.
Yeah.
Then you got to, you know, it's Jacob, it's Ezekiel, it's Luke. Bam.
Book of James.
My big question.
Change your name. She should change her name to C-3PO.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I was thinking that. Or C-3PO and R2-D2.
It would just be like Admiral, stream like
Admiral Huxley.
Was it General Huxley? I can't remember.
Right, General Hux, right? But fucking name it Admiral Huxley.
this is my question, because she signed off with something from Star Trek, and I'm wondering why Star Trek's not in the running here for some of these names, because as we've talked about, if I ever had a child, of course I would name him James Tiberius Scarpino. That would just be the coolest thing on the planet. Or if you got big shiny ones, name your kid Spock and just go with it. And then they're like, what's, and then when you take the kid to the vet or wherever you take kids, and they go, what's the last name? And they go, oh no, it's just Spock, like Cher or The Weeknd.
Look, if you were really kind of funny fans, like they say they are, name your twins Rimothy and Paula Paula.
Exactly.
There you go.
Damn.
You
can call her
Paula Paula Bills, make the prophecy true.
Put your money where your mouth is, you know?
I mean, super fans. I have it on good authority that there's at least one kid out there that's just the kind of funny smiley. It's just like when Prince went by the symbol. That's it.
You could do Kevin and Joey. Then Kevin and Joey live together forever, you know? They live on in these two.
See, I like taking the Luke and Leia, but switch it up a bit. You know, it's Star Wars, but it's not. Luke. Luca and Leo.
Oh, I was going to say Lucas and something. It's a play on it, you know?
I'm not a fan of the Luke and Leia twins thing. I just think it's too. There's too many built-in criticisms that can happen.
Hot.
I think it's cooler when it's a character that show when it's subtle, right? Tim, I love my gaming merch subtle, right? I love my gaming merch subtle, and like for example, my cousin's name is Jadzia. And Jadzia was some character in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah,
loved that name. But she's not like a main character by any means. She's just like a name of a character on the show. So he named her Jadzia. And it's stuff like that.
Deep Space Nine.
It could be Deep Space Nine. I could see my uncle being really into Deep Space Nine, actually.
I feel like that was the character with that.
Joe Merton says Deep Space Nine.
It's Deep Space Nine, yeah. Because that was the character that had the pattern here. I think, and that was the name of the being that was in her, was like the which is cool. That's very subtle. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's correct.
But you know, that's like way different than calling your son Picard or something like that.
Jean-Luc,
you know?
Picard.
That could be compromised. Like, you do Picard and Leia.
You could do that. That'd be incredible.
What about Picard and Kirk? Kirk is a badass name. And Leia.
William Shatner and Leia is a great name too. Yeah, yeah. All
Bill Shat.
I will say I would be hesitant to name my child after any specific pop culture thing these days, just because of how quickly the wind shifts, like on things. You know, like Greg, I know we were pushing you to name your child after something Ghostbusters, but then it's like, is Bill Murray just a big asshole? Like, that's all those stories broke. Because, like, maybe we shouldn't name anyone after anyone anymore. Because who knows what's going to happen, what's going to come out in like 20 years about that person. Maybe they're a rageaholic or something like that. You know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but it's after the character. It's not, you know.
That's true.
You're not naming your kid Bill Murray.
That'd be cool. Murray.
I think that's the thing about it, where I think, yeah, for me, for Chelsea G, I'm firmly in Chelsea G's camp. I don't think if you're not both 1,000% behind it, then don't do it. You know what I mean? That was obviously the big thing for me and Jen with Benjamin, where, you know, when we listed names and stuff, obviously we did a brainstorm thing where we had like a whole bunch of names on a big old piece of brown paper and then like expanded out wherever. And so I had started off and I put a bunch of comic book and Ghostbusters and whatnot stuff on there, but I didn't want the kid to be looked at and be like, oh, it's Greg's kid. You know what I mean? Of course it's named Clark. Of course his name's Cal. And you're like, no, like it's me and Jen having a kid. I didn't want it just to be based on my interests. I thought that was a weird way to erase my wife from the equation, right? And her part in this. So if Chelsea G is a Trekkie and she's not on board with Luke and Leia, then I think it's just a dead issue. In the same way it should go the other way, of like Chelsea G wants Spock and Picard.
Badass.
You know what I mean? Name your daughter Picard. Like, I don't know if Lewis here should be like, yeah, no, okay, of course we should. No, if it doesn't work for him, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of thinking about the realities of the situation, right? You're going to be talking to these kids a lot. You're going to be calling their names a lot. Are their names fun to say? Are you going to be wanting to say Luke and Leia, or are you going to be embarrassed by that? Because if you're embarrassed by it even a little bit, I'm with Greg, pull out. It's not worth it. Pull but out. I will say, I know this is different, but naming Toretto, best decision I ever made. Because every single day I get to be like, Toretto. You know what I mean? And I'm channeling The Rock and it's all in there. Yeah. It just feels so right. It feels so good.
I feel like you can experiment more and have more fun with dog names than you can with kids' names. Largely because at a certain point, the dog's like, I don't care what you call me as long as you feed me. But at one point in the life of the child, they will start questioning everything you say and do. And if you named your son Toretto Geddes, he will grow up and if he hates Fast and Furious, he'll be like, I hate you, Dad. This is the worst decision ever.
I'm telling you right now,
call me Dale.
And this is the realest thing in the entire world. I did not come up with the name Toretto for Toretto. It was actually Gia's sister, Jenna, who brought it up. And I had a bunch of other names. We had names we wanted to name him and we were like excited about. But when she said that, all of a sudden it hit. I'm like, oh, we're naming this guy Toretto for sure. Mm-hmm. But then I stopped and I'm like, gee, we need to talk about this.
Toretto.
Do we name the dog Toretto or do we save that for a kid? Because I fucking love Toretto as a
Toretto
name.
Toretto Geddes.
Come on. Obviously, the dog won out on that one. But it was mainly more like the dog is now. The kid is a maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. So we don't know. The kid's unknown. Like,
I need a guarantee that there's a Toretto in my life.
We got to start getting those Instagram followers right now on that second feed. Andy,
I'm also not against it, though. I'll name the kid Toretto. Fuck it.
Andy, how much would it cost? How much money would I have to pay you? Or would you have to pay me for using this incredible idea I'm about to lay on you?
To have a kid?
You have a child, and you name him Jason Statham.
Jason Statham Cortez.
Not even Cortez, just Jason Statham. I mean, it's a tall task. That's a tall task, yeah. Nick. But, how much money are you willing to pay? That's the thing.
We'll have to negotiate that. I got like $100 in my pocket right now. Ooh. Real talk, though. I love when people name their dog shit like that, though. Like, if you had a cool-looking dog, you're like, what's your dog's name? Oh, it's Jason Statham.
That's a great name for a dog. Name.
Someone named your dog Jason Statham. Don't steal it.
Dude, Toretto is like the best dog name ever because I'm able to easily kind of decide if I like someone or not just like within moments of meeting them. Because if they get it immediately, I'm like, you're part of the family. I love it. Then there's the other half of the world that is like Toronto. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. No, I didn't name him Toronto. I love Toronto.
Great place. Real fun.
You made the way he made it sound like he didn't love Toronto, though.
Yeah, yeah. You said it in a, it was the tone. He had a, yeah. He had a tone.
I don't
about
know if you
it.
Can take that back.
You're well, right. I mean, I like Toretto more. Like, let's be real.
Sure.
But, you know, it's more disrespect on the people that don't know the difference. You know,
Sure, yeah. Sure. But the way you said Toronto, no, I didn't name Toronto. You know, like there was this, Andy heard it. Andy heard
it. I heard it. I heard the peeps. I heard the whole city.
Dirty, nasty deeps. Yeah. Show some fucking respect, especially in these trying times. You know how hard it is to be a Fast and Furious fan this week? It's very fucking hard.
Who took over for Justin Lin? Did they announce
the guy that did The Incredible Hulk, Nick? The guy that did Angry?
Movie worse than Thor.
The Incredible Hulk. The guy that did The Transporter. The guy that did Now You See Me.
I mean, first off, Tim, you're saying Now You See Me like it wasn't an incredibly enjoyable film, okay? I mean, and Nick, The Transporter was actually pretty fun, too.
I'm not going to lie. Look, I'm with you. I'm with you. But this is the finale. This is the end of it all, man.
I know.
I can't believe they're about to drop the ball at the end.
I laughed out loud today. I was doing the Games Daily, so I'm going through IGN and GameSpot and all this, and one of them had an article up of like, Justin Lin reportedly left because of Vin Diesel. And I literally was like, no shit. Like, what? Do we have any doubt what happened here? Where this is a mystery or whatever? And then on set reports that he doesn't know his lines, he shows up out of shape and all this shit. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this disaster.
We talked about it on the morning show. And Mike was like, why do you think it happened? I was like, and when anyone ever says creative differences on set, it's either with Vin Diesel or Tyrese. Unfortunately, it's always Vin Diesel. It sucks. But
I mean, creative differences over somebody who has like the next amount of like their fingerprints all over this franchise, second to Vin Diesel. Like, that's crazy. This isn't some brand new director just stepping in.
Yeah.
And maybe like, I don't agree with the vision of blah, blah, blah. Maybe somebody has been there in this one, Vin.
Maybe Dom has hair in this.
Maybe you have sleeves this time. Sleeves?
Yeah, this is somebody who's been there for so long. And the idea that that person could be like, I'm fucking out. Like, that's crazy. That's so sad.
Yeah. Well, that's why The Rock doesn't work with him anymore. So that's how it works, unfortunately.
The Rock was not down to get acting lessons from Vin Diesel.
Could you even imagine, Andy? That's like me pulling you aside and being like, listen, dude, I think you're doing a great job at all these impressions, but I think we should workshop a couple of these, and I can explain to you how to do Jason Statham.
Perfectly. I'll put you under my wing. What did he say? Like, he was like trying to be Fellini-esque.
The Rock's like, do you fucking know who we are? People don't watch us because we can act. We can barely get words out of our fucking mouths. People watch us because we're fun to watch.
Vin, do you know who you are?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, everyone.
Remember how excited he was for the Fast and Furious video game on stage at the Game Awards?
I played that.
Yeah,
you did play it.
I did.
That was a bad stream.
Andy made me play it and then laughed at me for 45 minutes.
It was funny, though. It was so bad.
It was not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, coming to BS with each other about whatever it is they want to BS about. If you like that, of course, BS with us. Patreon.com/kindafunny. You can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the post show we're about to do. You could be watching live, just like Cameron Kennedy is, Omega 3 is, and Melissa Hagler is. However, if you have no bucks tossed away, no big deal. Creator code Kinda Funny on the Epic Game Store or wherever you can use that on your consoles of choice. And of course, pick up the show, youtube.com/kindafunny, roofsheet.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. For now, there's a post show to do for all the trogs watching live and watching later on patreon.com/kindafunny. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.